Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hey, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Unfortunately, the Red Sox season came to a bitter end Friday night when they lost to the Astros in Game 6 of the ALCS 5-0. I have a jam-packed show for you. We will go over the game. We will also talk about why Red Sox fans should be satisfied, or should be happy at least, with this season that the Red Sox put together. We'll also discuss some plays that kind of turned the fate of the game. Kike Hernandez, Kyle Schwarber, and his weird double play there. And we'll also, of course, we have to touch on this offense because it just kind of disappeared the last two games. I'm Lauren Campbell. I cover Boston sports for NESN. I've been in this crazy, wild Boston media scene now for over 6 years. Born and raised in the Boston area, so lifelong Red Sox fan, lifelong fan of getting my heart broken by this Red Sox team every couple of years. And we added another heartbreak to the board on Friday. But let's not waste any time, let's get right into it. But first, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. So the unfortunate thing is that the Red Sox no longer are playing baseball. Their season ended. Their World Series hopes ended at the hands of the Astros. And listen, the Astros are a very good team. They're a strong team. And they were, you know, pegged as one of the favorites to get far into the season and into the postseason. But if you look back on this Red Sox regular season, there is a lot to be proud of and to be excited about for the future and be excited about just for this season overall, because as we've said several times on this show, the Red Sox were just kind of left off the postseason. They were slated to finish fourth in the AL East. And when you look at this roster and you looked at the other teams they were going up against, that was a totally fair assessment. They certainly exceeded Jason's expectations. I don't think he had them winning more than 80 games. I'll have to double check with him on that. But here they were, a 90 plus win team, and they were keeping up with the big dogs. They eliminated the Yankees from the AL wildcard. They stunned the Rays in the AL Division Series. And you go through the season, you go through the 162 game regular season, a team that obviously does not have Mookie Betts, coming off a very ugly 2020 shortened season due to COVID. Chris Sale was going to be missing for most of the season. The bullpen was still very much in question. Even the starting pitching still was in question. People were hellbent on getting Jaron Duran up to the majors, and they did. And then all of a sudden they turned on him because he didn't produce what they thought he would right away in his first stint in MLB. Go figure. But you look at all what the Red Sox kind of overcame. They overcame Chris Sale's absence for so long. A COVID outbreak at the end of the season. They had it ravaged their clubhouse. They were calling up people from AAA Worcester left and right. And they were, even though they started the season getting swept by the lowly Baltimore Orioles, they really turned it around. They were in first place in the AL East for over 80 days. The Yankees were only in first place for one day in the AL East. Now, I know that people can easily be disappointed because the end goal always is the World Series, and why not? And everyone loves the Cinderella story, so the Red Sox were MLB Cinderella story this year. You know, like I said, slated to finish fourth, slated to miss the postseason, gets into the ALCS. They were two wins away from the World Series, but obviously in Major League Baseball, almost does not count. The Astros will move on to the World Series to face either the Dodgers or the Braves in what's turning out to be an incredibly entertaining NLCS. Walker Buehler will pitch Game 6, not Max Scherzer, because he is dealing with general arm fatigue. But, you know, people constantly wonder, you know, could the Red Sox have squared up with the Braves or with the Dodgers? And I say if they were giving the Astros some trouble, if they gave the Rays a lot of trouble, then absolutely. You never know what can happen in baseball. You never know what can happen in the postseason. Regular season stats don't matter. History doesn't matter. It's there. It's now. It's in the present. But we are not talking about the Red Sox going to the World Series, unfortunately. But, you know, you think back to the season, like I said, everything they had to overcome, their ugly, ugly struggles after the All-Star break, after the trade deadline. There was a lot of ups and downs. Matt Barnes was magnificent, and then the All-Star game happened, and then he sucked and just could not get back into a groove. Kike Hernandez was hot all postseason, and then he cooled down the final two or three games. Same with Hunter Renfroe. He really struggled in the ALCS. Well, even though he was so dominant in the regular season. And, you know, like I said, regular season stats don't matter. Nothing matters when it comes to the postseason. Doesn't matter if your team has 109 wins. Doesn't matter if your team has 90 wins. It's all about how you play and what you leave on the field day in and day out. But I think at the end of the day that there is so much to be excited about this season. You look back on this season, I think Red Sox fans absolutely should be proud. They did not choke in the ALCS because they weren't even expected to go to the ALCS. Their offense went cold. Yes, I will 100% own that. Defense was a little shaky in game six. Red Sox continued to swing at everything that came their way. But I think when we look back on the 2021 season, we're going to see a lot more good than bad. I think that even though the season is over, now we have to wait 4 months until pitchers and catchers report to Florida in February, I think that this was a very, very successful season for the Red Sox. Alex Cora was renamed the manager. The players really took to him. There wasn't a whole lot done at the trade deadline, but Alex Cora still put out a good lineup, mostly each and every night. He still made some questionable in-game decisions, which he had when he was in Boston in 2018 and 2019. But at the end of the day, this was a really fun season. There were times I was thinking that the Red Sox were going to go all the way and win the World Series. There were times during this season that brought me so much joy being able to cover this team and be a fan of this team. And of course, I mean, it's baseball. It's a 162 game season. There were also times that they almost made me rip my hair out and dig my nails into my eyeballs. That's just baseball. That's sports. And that's what being a sports fan is like, especially in New England. And you can be disappointed in this season. Of course, you can be disappointed the Red Sox didn't get to the World Series, but I don't think you should be disappointed in the way that the season ended in the ALCS. The Astros are a strong team at the end of the day, and the Red Sox, their offense went cold. There's no way around it. But overall, I'm happy with the season. Am I satisfied? No, I'm never satisfied unless they win the World Series. But I'm happy that they made it this far. I'm happy they brought my grandmother so much joy this year, and I'm happy that they proved a lot of people wrong. That's the fun of being the underdog, and that's the fun of being a team that's constantly doubted. So as I mentioned, the offense just kind of went cold in the last two games. The Red Sox couldn't get anything done. They got shut out in game six, 5-0, and they only scored one run in game five. And it was just very ugly. They scored one run in game four as well. And people will probably point to E-Rod tapping his wrist, kind of mocking Carlos Correa as like the turning point. I'm superstitious, yes, but I also believe in the fun of the game. Like I talked about in an earlier episode of Locked On Red Sox. I don't think that was some sort of jinx or anything, but I think that it was not pitching that was really the problem. It was the offense. You can't blame Chris Sale. You can't blame Nate Eovaldi. They both left it all on the field. They left it all on the mound for the offense to go cold, for the offense to get no hit by Framber Valdez for a little while, for the Red Sox to get no hit by Luis Garcia for a little while. You know, when you have your Hunter Renfroes, your Kike Hernandezes, your Xander Bogaerts, your Rafael Devers, when you have them going cold at the plate, you're not going to win games. You have Rafael Devers continuing to take these terrible swings, and it's not just him, it was the entire offense swinging at everything. And I don't know if it was Laz Diaz and them just being very overly cautious of the strike zone and just trying to make sure they don't miss any calls, or they don't try to get rung up on a bad call or a questionable call. I don't know what it was, and obviously it's mental. They're all in their heads, because the second they go down, it just they forget how to play offense. They forget how to run bases. They forget how to execute plays properly. And it was really frustrating to watch, because I'm no professional ball player. I know that, but the swings they were taking, and you only have not even half a second to decide if you're gonna swing, but it's just it blows my mind that the Red Sox couldn't get out of their own way. They couldn't get out of their own heads, especially after dominating the Astros at Fenway Park and getting this fan base so excited for the potential World Series. You know, where did that offense go? They were confident, they were patient at the plate, they were taking pitches, and they were driving the ball. They were hitting for contact. They weren't trying to swing for the fences. They weren't trying to win the game. They were just trying to get men on base and score those men on base. And they succeeded early on in the ALCS, and all of a sudden just disappeared in the final two games, or the final three games, really. There's no real explanation. You know, you don't know if Renfroe or Hernandez, who really, both of them really, really struggled throughout the ALCS, they could be hurt, sure. They could be fatigued. Like I said earlier in an earlier episode of Locked On Red Sox, every baseball player right now who's still playing probably is pretty tired. You know, it's the long grind of the season. You're so close to the end and you can taste the World Series at this point. But there was just not enough time for the Red Sox to correct these mental mistakes. I think especially Hernandez, after he dropped the fly ball in the first inning on Friday's game, I think that did it for him. I think he said after the game that he was thinking about it for 9 innings. And of course, that's always going to weigh heavy on your mind, and that's not something that can be in your mind for those 9 innings. You need to focus on getting your team back in the game, and especially someone like Hernandez, who had gone cold. He was 1 for 10 as of Thursday or Wednesday. But it's just those small mistakes that, while they're not super costly, they don't, you know, they're not game changing. It could be game changing with how you take the after approach of it. And I think that's what happened with a lot of the Red Sox. I think that once they went down, they were only down 1-0, 2-0, and then they, in their heads, they're down like 10-12-0, and they have to take these hell hacks. They have to take these major swings that looks like they're gonna rip their shoulder right from their socket. I just think they were trying to do too much against the Astros. I think they were just trying to swing for the fences. They wanted to get on the board. They were desperate for runs, and they were trying to just get out of their own way. And in doing so, they just got more in their way. And it probably wasn't a good omen for the game to start in the first inning with Kike Hernandez missing a fly ball that 9 times out of 10 he's probably going to catch. It was a very catchable ball. It ended up hitting his wrist, and Alvarez scored from third. Alvarez has just been a beast in this series against the Red Sox. It's no surprise he was named the ALCS MVP. I think that what he did against Boston, I don't know if the Astros really beat the Red Sox without him. I think that he's such an X factor and so clutch that the Red Sox didn't have an answer to him. They should have stopped pitching to him, but that's another discussion for another day I'd love to have with Jason. But it's hard when a game starts like that. In the first inning, you make a play, or you don't make the play that you make, like I said, 9 times out of 10, and it just sets the tone for a disappointing game. And you know, with Kike Hernandez's post-game comments, I think at the end of the day, he just could not get out of his own head. That play was constantly in his brain being like, if I made it, this game would not be 1-0. It would still be 0-0. And it's not like the Astros won 1-0. They won 5-0. So I think that it's not the difference maker of the game. It certainly set the tone. But at the end of the day, the Red Sox were shut out. They did not get any help from their offense. And it's such a shame because Nate Eovaldi, once again, was dominant. He pitched beautifully, and he deserved so much better than what the offense gave him on Friday. We'll continue to discuss the Red Sox in our second segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. We'll talk about Hunter Renfro and his struggles, and we'll also touch on who is going to be free agents for the Red Sox, because there are a lot of names who are going to be free agents and a lot of decisions the Red Sox need to make. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know me by now. I absolutely love Built Bar. There's something for everybody. There's flavors ranging from coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, and my personal favorite, cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all of the flavors, do what I did, and it's so worth it. Get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of their 9 flavors. Try them all and let me know which one you think is the best. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they don't taste like cardboard like a lot of other protein bars out there. They're also incredibly healthy for you. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Bing, bang, boom, trifecta. Built Bar also is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty neat. And we have an offer for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. We are recapping the bitter Game 6 loss that the Red Sox suffered at the hands of the Astros to end their World Series hopes. And as I mentioned in the first segment, the offense really, really went cold. And I had mentioned on Locked On Astros, on News Center Maine, in articles on NESN.com, that Kike Hernandez and Hunter Renfro really need to be these X factors for the Red Sox, because it reminded me a lot of 2018 when the Red Sox have this star power, but you have Steve Pierce, you have JBJ, who were the ALCS and World Series MVP respectively. So you think of somebody like Kike Hernandez, Hunter Renfro, who have been around the league for a while, who are respected veterans, presence in MLB, but they're not the superstar of the team. You know, they're not the Xander Bogarts, they're not the Mookie Betts, they're not the Mike Trout, but they always come up clutch for their team, and that's exactly what they had done all regular season, and then they went cold. They froze when it came to the ALCS, and I certainly don't think it's fair to sit here and say, oh, they can't take the pressure, because Kike Hernandez was part of the Dodgers for a while. You know, he knows what it's like to be in a big market. He knows the pressure, the brightest lights. He played in the World Series with them. It has nothing to do with pressure or anything like that. Same with Hunter Renfroe. He's been around long enough and part of successful Rays teams that that's just not the case at all, and I refuse to believe that. But I just think that when you have your Hunter Renfroes and your Kike Hernandezes going cold while your veterans already are struggling at the plate, it's going to be a problem. And unfortunately, Hunter Renfroe just could not figure it out. He was really, really due for a big hit, a big game, and it just never came for him. Maybe it would have come in game 7. Maybe he would have played hero. Maybe Kike Hernandez would have come just a little bit closer to hitting a home run. But it's certainly not all on them that they lost. Of course not. It's not all on one player. This is a team sport. This is not a sport where you can just pinpoint or point fingers and say, well, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault. Because you're deploying a lineup of 9 guys. You have your pitcher. There's no way that it's on one person. And this was the case for the Red Sox. This was their offense. This was the 1-9. They just couldn't get it done. You know, they wasted earlier in the series. They wasted a triple from Christian Arroyo. They wasted opportunities with men in scoring position, runners on the corners. They were 0-9 at one point in the series with runners in scoring position. So it's not just one person, it's this entire offense. But Hunter Renfroe really had gone cold, and Alex Cora was really confident that he'd be able to get over his struggles and he'd be able to get over this hump. And his time never came. And it's incredibly unfortunate because he was so clutch for the Red Sox all in the regular season. So it was very, very disappointing. I don't think it's anything to worry about, regardless of what happened in the postseason, just because he had an incredible year with the Red Sox. What a steal that ended up being for them. No one is going to be harder on Hunter Renfroe than Hunter Renfroe, because he knows what he did in the postseason or in the regular season. He was having a lot of fun with this team. He was very confident in himself, and that confidence can go away at the snap of a finger when you're not producing well. And when you don't have confidence, you try to just swing at everything. You try to get those big hits and you try to get back in the game. Xander Bogaerts went through a little slump there at the end of the regular season, and just one hit turned everything around. It's unfortunate Hunter Renfroe never got that one hit that really made him catch fire again and kind of spark the Red Sox. It's unfortunate Evaldi's appearance could not spark something for the Red Sox and motivate them. It's just a very unfortunate turn of events. But like I said in the first segment, there is so much to be proud of. We already knew that the struggles of JD Martinez, Rafael Devers, and sometimes Xander Bogaerts, we knew that they were already there. And that's when you count on the people like Kike Hernandez, Kevin Pilecki even, and Hunter Renfroe to really pick this team up. And they couldn't. And it's not just on them. Like I said, 1-9 really struggled in the last 2 games of the series, the last 3 games of the series, really. But we cannot play what if. We cannot dwell on the past. We are about not even 24 hours removed from the loss. So it's still going to sting for a little while, of course. But the offseason is among the Red Sox. Not officially, but the Red Sox season is over. And now their attention turns toward 2022 and building a roster that's fit for the World Series. That can kind of get them just past the ALCS. Get them one step further into the World Series. Make them a contender. Make them a threat among analysts and experts who left them off this year. So some people who are free agents this year, JD Martinez has a player option in his deal, and he has to decide just after the World Series whether he'll stay in Boston or test the free agent market. This is something that is not unfamiliar territory to Red Sox fans. He has had opt-out clauses in the past with the Red Sox and has decided not to use it. In my opinion, I don't think he's going to opt out. I don't think he's going to make the money he would with the Red Sox that he would on the open market. I think that nobody's going to pay him what the Red Sox are. But either way, the Red Sox still get a good power bat in their lineup if he decides to stay. But he does have an option in his deal. Garrett Richards, Christian Vasquez, and Martin Perez all have team options. And that means the Red Sox, their fate is in the Red Sox hands. Now, I don't think they're going to pick up the option of Martin Perez. And if you've been listening to this show, that's not a surprise to you, because I don't like Martin Perez. I didn't like the re-signing to begin with. I did not like the idea of bringing him in a bases loaded situation in a very winnable game still. I just don't think he has what it takes to be on the Red Sox, and I think he proved that plenty of times this year, from getting demoted from starter pitcher to the bullpen to just not having the confidence and not making the big outs, not getting out of innings and getting out of jams. So I don't think the Red Sox will pick up that option. Garrett Richards, I'm very on the fence about, because he was pretty good out of the bullpen. He did struggle as a starter after MLB cracked down on their sticky substance. We've been over this several times with the spider tack and everything, and how Garrett Richards obviously used that stuff and struggled without it. But he did really find a groove in the Red Sox bullpen, so I'm very intrigued by that. I'm leaning more toward yes than no, but I'm not super convinced. It's like 60-40. Christian Vasquez, I do think they'll pick up the option. I think that, you know, he's a good defensive catcher. I think that he's come in clutch at times for the Red Sox. And someone like him, I mean, they have Kevin Plawecki, who's great, and I think that they'll make a great platoon team like they did this year. But I think that they like what they have in Vasquez, and I think that they know they can get more out of him. And so I think they'll certainly pick up his option. Kyle Schwarber, he'll be an unrestricted free agent after getting traded from the Nationals to Boston in July. He wants to come back. He said after Game 6 he would love to return, that this is a World Series winning clubhouse, and he wants to be a part of that. I know, I'm all for it. I think that the trade really worked out in the Red Sox favor. I do think, though, the problem is here with that Red Sox outfield, you really need to figure out where he fits, and where he fits more as a full-time than as a full-time platoon guy. I don't know if he's the answer at first base. He did make some errors during the ALCS, you know, dropping the ball, and that's not his natural position. And I do think Bobby Dalbec really showed why he belongs on this team and belongs at first base next season. So I do think there will be some kind of finagling with the lineup and where he belongs, but I would not be mad to see him back. Also, as unrestricted free agents, there's Eduardo Rodriguez, which I was very critical of him in the middle of the season when he was really struggling and just could not get out of his own way, could not get out of games, could not pitch very long outings. And he showed a lot in the postseason. And was it enough to warrant an extension with the Red Sox? I don't know. I don't think, if they do want to extend him or re-sign him, I don't think it's going to be some long-term big money contract. Maybe he could get more money on the open market. I don't really know if teams want to take a chance on E-Rod. I don't know if somebody will want to throw 3 to 5 years at him. I don't know. But I think there's a good chance he does return on a short-term deal to the Red Sox. Like I said, I know I was critical of him, but if you could use him in the Red Sox rotation, maybe as a 4-starter, I'm not going to hate it, but the money and the term need to be right. I'm going to stress that, because I do not want to see E-Rod get a long-term, bigger money deal, because he did show a lot of his struggles, and he's never been an ace. He's never been, you know, his 19-win season, that I'm not going to say it was a fluke, but I don't think that's who he is. He's a strong pitcher, but I don't think he's a constant 19-win guy. Adam Ottavino, Danny Santana, Hansel Robles, Travis Shaw, and Jose Iglesias also will be unrestricted free agents. Adam Ottavino came over from the Yankees. Hansel Robles was acquired at the trade deadline. Travis Shaw was claimed off waivers, as was Jose Iglesias. You know, I don't know if any of these guys will come back. I think Ottavino, probably out of those 4 or 5 guys, probably have the best chance to come back. You know, I think he was fine in the regular season. He did struggle at times. I mean, what pitcher didn't this season? But I do think out of Ottavino, Santana, Robles, Shaw, and Iglesias, that Ottavino probably will be the one to come back from that group. Robles, I do not want him back on the Red Sox. Is there were times that he shined bright, but there were also times where he was just god-awful, and he's never been super, super reliable throughout his career, so certainly don't want him back. Travis Shaw and Iglesias, I loved the additions of both of them in the regular season. They provided a lot of spark. But at the end of the day, I don't know if there's room on this lineup. I think that there's more room for Iglesias than Shaw, and I think that's just because he was very welcomed by this team. Not that Travis Shaw wasn't by any means, but there was so much attention around Iglesias in the ALCS throughout the postseason, just him being there for his team and him really wanting to come back. And I mean, we love a good reunion story. That's why people really loved when Travis Shaw came back as well. But I don't think Santana, Robles, Shaw, and Iglesias are priorities. the way Rodriguez and Ottavino might be. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them go hit the open market for an extended period of time, and somebody probably would take a chance on all of them. But I think the Red Sox are more focused on Schwarber, Vasquez, Rodriguez, and Ottavino. So it's certainly shaping up to be an interesting, entertaining offseason. There's a lot to watch out for. There's a lot to be hopeful for too, because the Red Sox, you know, they're close. They are close, and they're building a team meant for the World Series, and they could be incredibly more competitive come 2022. Coming up in our third segment of Locked On Red Sox, I will give you an unpopular opinion as well as end this show on a positive note. But first, this episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever, a new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. And my unpopular opinion today is that the play Kyle Schwarber made, the very kind of weird double play that almost could have been a triple play, I think still was the right call he made. He said after the game that he wishes he could take it back because he realized he had more time with it. He realized that he probably could have gotten the out at home. But it was just really a heads-up play from the Astros and their base running and their ability to be able to score runs in any opportunity. I think it was the right call. I think at the end of the day, Kyle Schwarber made the short outs, and I think that it wasn't his inability to play first, and it wasn't because he hasn't played first base in his career until this year. I do think it was the right call. I do think he's in the moment. He's trying to double up the players. He's trying to save runs. Unfortunately, a run did score to make it 2-0. But as I've mentioned so many times in the show, it was not a 2-0 game. It was not a 1-0 game. The Red Sox were shut out. The Red Sox offense went cold. And it could have been an uglier game. It could have been 8-0, 9-0, 10-0 had Kyle Schwarber not made that double play. So as much as he wants that play back, and I'm sure he does, I don't blame him for that. I do think it was the right call the way he executed it. And now let's end this show on a positive note. And my positive note here is that I have had so much fun taking over this podcast in July with Jason and just kind of relaunching it and being able to talk the Red Sox with you every day. It's been so much fun. You went through a brief hiatus as we were trying to relaunch, and we thank you so much for your patience through that. Thank you for embracing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for criticizing us as well, because no one is perfect, and we want to make this show as good as we can for you. But there are just not enough words to express how much fun I've had getting to know Jason, getting to know you, and getting to know the Red Sox on a deeper level. I've never hosted a podcast before. I've co-hosted many of them, but I've never been the lead host. So thank you for embracing me. Thank you for embracing Jason. And a huge thank you to Jason for just being a really good friend, being a great co-host, and being an enormous support system, and just constantly being there for me. And, you know, we're always hyping each other up throughout this process. It's a learning curve for both of us, but we would not be here without you, and we are so grateful for your listenership. We are not done here. There is a lot of off-season to talk about. We are so excited to continue to bring you this podcast. Even though the Red Sox season is over, we still have a lot to speculate, a lot to wrap up, report cards to give out. We'll give way too early predictions. We'll do all of that, so don't worry. We're not going anywhere. But a huge thank you to you for keeping us afloat, making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day, and just tuning in, interacting with us. We love you. We appreciate you, and we cannot wait to see what this offseason brings so we can react accordingly. But that will do it for today's episode of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you once again for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. Be sure to find me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's, and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at LO_Red Sox, and be sure to check out all of my work right on nesson.com. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. When you do, you never miss an episode, no matter what time we drop one. Please leave us a review, tell us what you want to hear, tell us what we can do better. We are here for you. And be sure to check out all of our other Locked On shows across the network. Locked On Astros, I'm sure the guys are very happy with the outcome of the ALCS. Locked On Dodgers, Locked On Yankees. Everyone does an incredible job here and they put in so much work to these shows, so please check them out. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, please go make Locked On MLB your second listen, where Paul Francis Sullivan, friend of the podcast, my good friend Sully, he brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both present and past. It's free and available on all platforms. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.